Mikhail Baryshnikov is one of our most celebrated contemporary artists. In addition to being a truly great dancer, he's also a choreographer, actor, children's book author, artistic director of an art center, and he's a photographer. One of his many projects is a book of his photographs of Merce Cunningham's dancers titled Merce My Way. It's published by Mikhail Baryshnikov Productions and distributed by GAP. And I'm very pleased to welcome Mikhail Baryshnikov to the show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Is what ties most of your interests, photography, dance, and choreography, that they're all visual?
Well, I guess so. But most of my present preoccupation, it's our foundation, our art center, BAC.
Mm-hmm. And that, you're not being an administrator there, are you?
Well, partially. I have to really set up the course and work with the upcoming programs and meet people and participate in fundraising events, et cetera, et cetera.
And that is on West 37th Street, an open 4 years ago.
Yes, 3.5 years ago. So,
and what's your mission to help create new works of art?
Well, the mission of the foundation is sort of stir up art awareness, help young people who are just graduating from art colleges around the United States and our guests from around the world. And try to help young artists to found themselves, you know, and then provide them with a space, a rehearsal space under the subsidy, because that's the most important for the young artist.
Were you filling some kind of a vacuum by doing that? Was that something that was missing in New York?
Well, of course, because the economic pressure of the last 10, 15, 20 years pushed young people away from Manhattan. And arguably, we've got the most beautiful rehearsal studios in New York City, and that attracts a lot of artists.
And right now, with this recent economic crisis, things are going to get tougher.
Of course, and the art and make new art under subsidy or for very little or no money, that's a dream of every upcoming artist.
You've also developed a mentor program there, haven't you?
Yes, we on occasions put people together, young people with their mentors. And we work with students from Columbia, Yale, Juilliard, Tisch School, name it, and in summer programs, occasional residencies, etc.
Would that have been possible when you were developing as a dancer?
Well, I grew up in Russia. It was a different. Everything was on your silver plate, and system in the United States quite different.
Yeah, well, there's a positive and a negative to growing up in a system that does have a rigidity as well. If you're lucky, you wind up with a good mentor. If you're unlucky, you wind up with somebody who is a dictator.
Of course, you said it.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the pictures, because these are wonderful photographs here.
Thank you.
When did you start photographing?
I started photographing a good 25, 27 years ago in my travels. A good friend, a photographer, put in my travel bag a little Nikon, and gave me sort of 20 or 30 rolls of black and white film. And I remember I was on a trip to Thailand, Japan, and then came back, and we developed together those few rolls. 90% is garbage, of course, but there's a few images were truly arresting, and I was... my head suddenly swelled. I thought, I am the photographer, and I will continue working this field, because it is, as you said, really addictive a preoccupation.
And you started off initially taking the sorts of pictures that one might expect. You saw something interesting, or you met a person yes, who you I would admire, and you took a portrait.
I photographed my friends, my kids, the travel shots of landscapes, capitals of of the world, and so on, but. Then I start to really learn a bit more about photography, about the light, about the equipment, about I always were interested in photography as an art form, and I'm attending a lot of photo exhibits, and I work with a lot of world famous photographers, from Richard Avedon to Irving Penn to Annie Leibovitz to the Lord Snowden. Just
they
name
were taking
it.
Your picture.
Yes, but when you sit for with them, and see the way they work, and they are very meticulous people, usually good photographers. They're so well organized. They're such a their studios are so clean and pedantic, because and I'm a bit messy person, and I learn from them a lot.
When did you start taking pictures of dancers?
Occasional and dance rehearsals I did, but I always thought that it's senseless to spend any of my time chasing a dancer around the rehearsal room because. Sometimes I'm sick and tired from all this dance rehearsal rooms. I would say 5-6 years ago, I start to sort of experiment with the digital technology. And our family, we have a house in Dominican Republic in Punta Cana, and as you know, Dominican people who really. First of all, I love DR and I love Dominicans, and they are extraordinary nation and extraordinary people, and this culturally are very relaxed with their own internal and external beauty, and they are natural dancers. They dance everywhere, in dance halls and in the bus stations and little cafes, and I just start to photograph them with a digital, few different cameras.
But were you photographing the way you've photographed here? Because here you've also captured the motion and movement.
Well,
of
that's
dance.
The first I start to work with the different modes. Some of them in focus, some of them experimenting with the movement, and try to detect genesis of the movement, my biggest inspiration were famous Alexei Brodovich, who was a very art director in Harper's Bazaar, if you remember, for many years, and who was a teacher of Robert Frank and Dick Avedon and Irving Penn and many others. And he did this thing, he produced this very famous book during the Second World War called Ballet in Black and White, with the Edwin Denby's introduction, which was really an icon of every photographer who really photographs dance and sport, actually. And from this Dominican project called Dominican Moves came up my first series exhibit in Edwin Howe Gallery in New York a few years ago. And from that on, I got really into the mode of photographing dance.
Well, there are three ways you can photograph dance. You can capture everything in the split second by very fast shutter speeds. You can do the sort of thing you've done here where we actually see the movement. It almost looks like futurist paintings in some cases where we see the movement of the dancers. Or you can shoot on film.
You're right.
You're somewhere with this. You're somewhere
I'm
in
somewhere
between
in
the
between,
two.
The two, because first of all, the object. It's probably the greatest choreographer of the last century and this century, contemporary modern dance choreographer, avant-garde choreographer Merce Cunningham, who will turn next month 90. It was my really. a birthday present, a humble attempt to try to kind of decode his certain choreographic thoughts. And I study his work, and I've been sort of fly on the wall for many years in his rehearsal studios, and working with him as a dancer and dancing his work, and being his faithful scholar and audience. And I asked Merz if I can attend few stage rehearsals, when really I had the privilege to photograph company right before the premiere, day of the premiere, at the dress rehearsal, and right sort of dance with my camera right in front of them. And I got this kind permission, and it was a very exciting time.
Now, you've worked with Balanchine, you've worked with Twyla Tharp, but you say Merce Cunningham is the greatest choreographer of the 20th century?
I would say avant-garde choreographer. You know, I'm not comparing those giants, you know, the Robbins, Balanchine, Ashton, Tudor. There were plenty, Jose Limon. I mean, there is such a roster. But Merce opened a door to centuries ahead. For he's more than a choreographer. He's a philosopher of our time and hope of our future. Is something I never met anybody more extraordinary than this man in all my life. That's for sure.
And when you were dancing, or when you did some of his work at the American Ballet Theater, you got a chance to talk to him about philosophy? Because he approaches dance differently than other people. In many cases, he keeps the music separate from the rehearsal period, which strikes me as totally opposite from everything that every dancer
would. All those collaborators, and especially when he worked with John Cage, he provides the choreographic palette. Then John was providing the sound, and the other person was providing a light and the costumes, completely independent.
And a set, sometimes.
And they throw this in one ball. And, you know, sort of did like scramble eggs and see what will happen, you know, which is really the most unusual way to work.
And you, obviously, the avant-garde appeals to you a lot. It seems to have appealed to you ever since you came to this country.
Well,
was it something that you felt, had you been felt frustrated when you were just doing classical ballet? Had you been looking overseas and thinking, gee, I'd like to work with somebody like Merce Cunningham?
Well, that's why I left my country, for the reason of work with the to try unknown. You know, I knew that I was a good classical dancer, but the limitation of the repertoire pushed me, propelled my curiosity, if you want. And I start a kind of aggressive campaign to work with the people and try to push myself to a non-territory.
And you wrote in your book, Baryshnikov at Work, that when you worked with her, Twyla Tharp pushed you to do things you never dreamed you could do.
Well, Twyla was very instrumental in my career in certain period. Of course, so is when I worked with Jerome Robbins. I had the same every time I worked with the person of a different caliber and different ideas. You know, you have to stretch yourself to be a right instrument in the hands of the choreographer.
And is that no longer a problem for Russian dancers? Can they just dance whatever
they
want to these days?
You know, that all the Russian dancers are, you know, flying around the world and working with the choreographers and different theaters and different productions. That's one of the wonders of the present world.
My guest is Mikhail Baryshnikov. His book, Merce My Way, Photographs, is being distributed by GAP, the photography company. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Mikhail Baryshnikov. He has just published a book of his photographs, gorgeous photographs, by the way. Sometimes you get a photographic collection by somebody who's famous, and you realize the only reason the book was published was because of the name on the cover. But in this case, I suspect these photographs would have been published anyway because they really are quite extraordinary. And I wonder about that. I'm sure you've thought a lot about how photography records dance. Was the intention here to make just beautiful images or to somehow capture the look of dance?
Well, as I said in the previous section, I was trying to decode same time Merce Cunningham's intentions, which is absolutely impossible. He's the most unpredictable choreographer ever lived, probably.
So you couldn't just say, oh, I know that they're going to move to the left over here and I'll get myself ready for that.
Yeah, but all those pieces, most of them, they were premieres. I couldn't even memorize, certain things, because I danced a few of his pieces, and I kind of know that he's using depth of field, let's say, you know, somebody who's on avant-scene, this means right in front of the audience, in still position, there's somebody would run across or fly around. You know, this is you have to kind of be aware that it's so many things in his pieces are happening simultaneously. At the same time, of course, being a dancer, instinctively are trying to get. Try to capture kind of internal little temperature of an internal beauty of individual dancer, and say, because I know them, those dancers personally for many years, following their career, and he or she, you know, I'm just waiting for that moment which she or he is famous for, let's say, you know what I mean, or sustain themselves on demi-point, you know, in still on or in elevation or extension of the leg, etc. You know, and I'm trying to get that little moment when I'm dancing, I'm striving for, you know, and those things, when those things click, then I feel after going through the thousands of images that this image is there, and then I'm really pleased.
Well, complicating matters is that you're doing this in color. In the past, often this kind of thing was attempted in black and white, and it's easier to do it in black and white. In color, you can wind up with a big mess, can't you?
Yes, but same time, you give digital photography, because the technology is so awesome, you know, and I'm working with on this project. I was working with the different Lumixes of Panasonic, with the Leica optical lens, and which there's a lot of incidental things happened, you know, and a lot of lucky, of course, shots. It's not just fishing in muddy waters, but I know pretty much what I'm doing. But there's a lot of lucky coincidences sometimes, you know. Movement and that generosity of the light imperfections, which become sort of a perfections.
By the way, if you want to understand what we're talking about, we have posted a slideshow of some of the photographs from this book on our website, wnyc.org. One of the other things we were talking about color is that the costumes, really, and the set designs are incredibly colorful.
Yes, but you see, Merce is interesting that he, that's why I actually asked him to, because he's, last few years, his dancers wearing leotards. And I asked Merce one day, I said, Merce, you went through all the baggy costumes and this and painted. I said, why you came back to the leotard? I said, I want to see it. He wants to see the body, mm-hmm. which is the instrument.
And it's interesting to see which choreographers choose to do some very simple costumes and just show the body, and others want to do flowing robes and the like. I'm sure you've danced in every kind of costume
possible. Oh, yes. Of course.
Is there something, I've asked actors this every once in a while, if the costume determines to some degree, has an impact on the way you play a role. Does the costume have an impact on the way you dance?
But as
you
said, that nakedness, you know, when you're in
and there was a time when dancers were dancing naked.
Or, you know, in some of the Martha Graham ballets, you are in briefs, you know, just you're naked practically. This is the most exposed and the most, you have to be so precise. You are really totally reveal yourself in front of the audience.
Now, you continue to dance, although it's not your primary thing these days.
Yeah, I danced. I worked 2-3 months out of the year performing, but the rest of the time I'm working on new pieces.
I saw you at the Baryshnikov Art Center performing a dance. I can't remember who the choreographer was, but it was about aging. And you've done a number of dances from Azure Barton, Benjamin Millepied. About aging.
you must think
about aging.
That's a normal choreographer's way. You know, I'm 61, and you know, and I'm continue to work. You know, choreographers are tend to some of them intentionally, some of them are not. Try to capture my internal glue factory kind of the process. You know, it becomes art of dance after a certain years an art of aging and art of dying, if you want. And that's fine. As a matter of fact, my summer tour, which would be in Europe, Central and Eastern Europe, it will be in May and June by three choreographers, Mats Ek, a Swedish choreographer, Alexey Ratmansky, a Russian choreographer, and Benjamin Millepied, who is a French import to the to the States. All European influences, and they all tend to have a bit of a storytelling, not just it's a story of something, but very much reflects who I am right now, you know, if you want. And I'm doing this in Italy, in Sweden, and in Holland, and Poland, and Latvia, you know, the quite a big tour with Ana Laguna, great Spanish dancer who actually all her life danced with the Kullberg Ballet, and who's the, and this is just two of us, and she's in her 50s too. She's in my bracket kind of, and we can talk, you know, kids and the life, you know, and the program named Three Solos and Duet, and it's fun. It's still fun to go on stage, and especially I don't have to compete with myself in terms of age, because they're all new pieces.
You're not doing the big leaps and things like
No. I'm dancing mostly with the street calls and street shoes, believe it or not, in some instances.
My guest is Mikhail Baryshnikov. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, I'm sure that when you were younger and doing all of those incredible things, you never imagined that you'd continue dancing this far into your career, that you'd probably do other things. And you have developed all these other sidelines. You've established yourself, I'm surprised not more often, as a very good actor. You have choreographed dances, you've run dance companies, you have the art center.
Well, you introduced me from the beginning as a choreographer. I am not a choreographer. My choreographing attempts were partially successful when I worked with ballet theater, and there's a couple of productions were decent, and some of them even pretty good, but and most of them not.
Who decided that? You or critics?
Me and audience and critics and fellow dancers. You know, there's so many critics suddenly when you have this platform. Well, thank you for those compliments, and I'm you know, but I knew always that around age 40 I will stop dancing in the field of classical ballet, you know, and that transition luckily sort of was pretty smooth, because while I was working in my 30s and 40s dancing classical roles, I've been, you know, studying work with Graham and Paul Taylor and Twyla and Merz and Mark Morris, who was, I would say, extraordinary influence on me personally as a friend and a choreographer and as a person of art. You know, I'm really chapeau, I must say. You know, and Jerome Robbins, of course, one of the biggest influences.
But you haven't had some of the problems other dancers have had. You haven't required hip replacement surgery. And
well, I had 7 or 8 operations, you know, and knees, shoulders, you know, Achilles. Of course, no, I did, you know, but luckily...
Is it possible to escape if you keep on dancing?
Very few people escape the injuries, and when you push yourself to the max, you know, that's... but I was always lucky to come back. I had great doctors always, and I worked religiously a few times a week, even now, with a physiotherapist, Sandra Foskey. She was wonderful. Physio, a woman and a good friend, and you know, try to be in shape. You know, that's just physically try to. You know, the biggest problem in my age, in my rehearsal and timetable, it's to choose to not to do wrong moves. You know, to choose right projects, because you know. It's so many projects in front of me. People want me to, you know, direct opera or choreograph a musical or to do this and that. And I, you know, I'm just a dancer, and you know, and I know very few things, you know, in life, in a way. And I, of course, you want to grab something from a side, and then other hand. You know, you just pull yourself back, and that's it's an interesting process, but it's very and sometimes uneven and depressing process.
Well, you were nominated for an Oscar for The Turning Point. Many people thought that your performance in Sex and the City was as good and as complex as any actor could ever have done. It was quite extraordinary. You have. You started Metamorphosis on Broadway, playing Gregor Samson. Then you were in the Beckett short plays a couple of years ago. So why not more acting?
I might. It depends. You know, it depends from the project. You know, the last time when Joanna Kalaitis called me and said I had a Beckett project, I said, I'm in. I mean, that was no even discussion, you know. He's my favorite playwright, you know, that we have an idea to say a few words from the page of Beckett. I mean, she made me an offer I couldn't refuse, no matter how successful it was, or maybe it was an uneven performance, but I learned so much, and it was a privilege of a lifetime.
Do your children perform?
Well, one of my daughters are seriously, you know, into the acting. You know, she wants to, and we'll see. She's very determined, and, you know... And she's a junior in high school. I mean, she'll looking for colleges. I wish her luck.
Do you think that dancing prepared you for acting? Because there is acting in dancing, isn't there?
Well, I mean, in school I came from, the Russian tradition, we do study theatrical acting, theatrical balletic acting. This means that 19th century tradition of petit pas and post-petit pas choreographers. And this is not by any means a You know, let's say Stanislavski's method, and their post-Stanislavski, let's say Adler or Lee Strasberg. Actually, as a matter of fact, Sunday we had a group of, in our center, group of Russian students from Moscow Art Theater. They were performing two shows, which was really kind of extraordinary event. From Moscow Art Theater Studio School. I mean, this is really was a very beautiful event.
Are you planning any other photographic projects?
Yes, I'm working in the one actually dance also related projects called sort of a code name called Dance Macabre, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to. It's a bit also digital project, and I actually travel and photograph sometimes when I go in Europe or elsewhere. I photograph other companies and choreographers who allowed me and dancers who allowed me to photograph their work. I'm collecting material, and one day also I would like to publish a book of my black and white shots.
Meanwhile, we have this book called Merce My Way, photographs by Mikhail Baryshnikov, and there is a slideshow of some of these photographs on our show page at wnyc.org. I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. You were very kind to me.
Thank you.